Hey everyone, and welcome to Myopia Movies. This week, of course, Wakanda Forever opened up, and obviously, based on the nature of this show, Black Panther is too good to appear here, though who knows, maybe we'll come back to it. In the meantime, we decided to do a, well, it's not a great movie, but it's fun as hell. Punisher Warzone from 2008, a hard, hard, R-rated film. But it's crazy and it's a blast, and it allows me to get my usual Marvel crew back together, including Dan and Evan. Thanks for doing all you do, thanks for listening, and thanks for sharing. Bye, guys.
Welcome to Myopia Movies. This week, we are talking Punisher Warzone. In honor of the release of Black Panther 2, we're celebrating Chadwick Boseman by watching a movie that Marvel doesn't acknowledge anymore. I'm your host, Nick Hoffman. On panel, we got Daniel.
Hey, what's up?
And Evan.
Howdy, howdy.
So, we've talked about doing this movie for probably a couple of years now, just because I, for one, kind of like the Marvel Cinematic Universe. They're not all home runs. Some of them are swings and misses. But for the most part, they're fun. The biggest complaint I have about them, just in general, is a lot of them are very samey.
It's very textureless. Away.
So we wanted to do a Marvel movie as far from the standard as possible.
Could not think of them. When you think about the standard MCU, I think, while still remaining in like watchable territory, this movie is just the antithesis. Like, I can't think of two more opposite things than, like, you know, Black Widow and this movie, despite them both being Marvel superhero movies. You know what I mean?
Yeah, totally.
This is a movie. This is, I want to, like, I'll save some thoughts for the rest of the show. I can't with my whole heart say that it is a good movie, but boy, did I have a great effing time watching it.
So we each have our version of how we watch this. I can tell you my version is at my house, to one degree or another, almost everyone's been sick. And so while no one is sick at the moment, my wife like went to bed at 9 o'clock almost. So I was like, I'll just put this on, watch the first half, I'll finish it. Nope, just sat down and watched the whole thing.
The exact same thing. I believe I watched it on Peacock. Which,
yeah. What about you, Schumacher?
Yep, I was also on Peacock streaming it, but I watched it at work, which is not the environment you want to watch this movie in ever, because like getting interrupted like every 5 minutes by a phone call is terrible. So watched it at work. It was all right. I laughed a lot. I will say that. I don't think I share the same opinion as Evan as far as
totally reasonable to come out on the other side of this.
You know, it's not the worst thing I've ever seen.
I have podcast evidence that you've seen Ang Lee's Hulk. So I know I know you've seen worse.
See, here's the thing, man. I think Hulk is better. Here's what I love about Hulk is that at least it's trying something.
You don't think this is?
No, I think this is like, hey, Pulpy, you guys action. Like it when
this is comic books in the 40s before they put out the Comics Code Authority. This is what was in them. This was Stan Lee and a bunch of other guys fucking on a heroin. Yeah. And we're like, what's the most fucked up thing we can sell to an 8-year-old? And that was this.
This is Frank Miller nonsense, that's for sure.
Absolutely.
It is something. I will tell you that. It is something. It has something it's going for, but I don't think it's trying anything to get there. I think it's just like, you know what? Everything's dark. Everything people like it when a giant muscular guy with a skull on his chest shoots people, and like we'll just show that a lot. And you know, for some people it's working. I was telling Nick before we started recording, like I knew in high school the kids that this movie was made for, and I don't know that I would
it's guys who are buying knives at the mall. That's who this
is for sure. 100%. They're like, they're in the comic book store all the time, but they're not buying comics.
No,
They're like hanging out in the comic.
They're wearing the same System of a Down shirt they've been wearing for the past 3 weeks.
100%. They have those like 3 foot tall statues on their shelves of like shit you wouldn't want a statue of.
They watched both Fight Club and Scarface all wrong.
Yes. Yeah. These are those kids, you know. Their playlists are just straight. It's just drum beats, 100% of the way.
They had a really interesting live journal.
Yeah. You do not want to see their blog.
No.
In fact, the FBI might have their blog.
They downloaded the Anarchist Cookbook. And No, I know.
I want to do it, but I have it. but you know, all that said, like, you know, it's not the worst thing I've seen. I just think, you know, if we're comparing it to Hulk, which I think was the last time we chatted, that at least is trying some things, and I dig the whole, they're at least doing that like comic panel.
That's
like,
I mean, far and away the best thing in that movie. I think I said this before, but like, and I'll say this about this movie too, that like sometimes you take a wrong left turn so hard that you like studios will just ignore everything you did right. Right. And I think those like panel shots are a perfect example of that. I think this like really just kind of the way the action is filmed. You know, I know that's kind of a generic broad stroke, but it's true. Like the Marvel movies are not made like this anymore.
That is true. Yeah. I mean, you know, and I mean, MCU just has a house style and
it sucks. I hate their action. I think their action is fucking bad.
Well, and I will say part of the problem is I don't know if this Punisher can exist in the MCU.
No.
I mean, and it's not just this movie though, but like the Punisher is someone who's so out for revenge. Like, who do you pair him with? Like, I know in the comics it's Daredevil, but Daredevil's kind of our Catholic guilt superhero. He feels bad about everything. But like you can do that in an earnest way, kind of like how Spider-Man has like this axe in his head that he was the one who's killed his uncle, effectively.
Yeah. If you were to do Punisher in the MCU, which I don't, as it exists now, I don't think you could do. You'd have to have him be like a serious, gritty guy. And kind of just skirt the murder kill stuff. And like, you'd have to make him Drax, right? You'd have to have him be like the goofy guy and stick him with the straight man. He's like, okay, buddy. Whoa, we're going to work on that. You know, like whatever. He's got quippy lines.
Yeah. I mean, essentially what we're trying to do is do what they did in The Tick and make him Big Shot. Or he's just like, having an emotional experience whenever he's killing. He's either so happy he's crying or so sad that he's crying because he's just so filled with rage.
Oh yeah.
I mean, and it's so funny because they're trying to do that R-rated stuff. And the R-rated stuff that they're doing is Deadpool with Hugh Jackman as Wolverine again. Which I mean, I'm excited for. But that's R-rated because it's profane and silly. Right.
You're not getting, and look, if the MCU keeps going, I think one of the ways that it could, I like the MCU, but I think it's kind of no secret that a lot of fans of it, even like myself or you guys, feel that the wind in the sails are a little, aren't as strong as they used to be. Right. Yeah. A lot that doesn't have as much momentum as it used to. It doesn't have a clear direction. I think one of those ways it can find that again is by getting a little more experimental. And it did this before, because a lot of people don't remember that before the first Guardians of the Galaxy movie was, interest in Marvel movies, they were still doing well commercially, but interest in it had waned a little bit. And then that first Guardians movie hits and wha-bam, we're back, baby. And that comes from experimentation. You get kind of a weird director in James Gunn, and you make him, you know, the movie itself is not that bold by now, but like when you think about it, you know, it's a weird space movie based on superheroes that nobody gives a shit about.
Now like, in charge of the entire DCU.
Right.
James Gunn.
So if you could do that, like if you have that boldness to allow yourself to experiment and do something weird like that, or maybe even another Punisher, we might have a cinematic universe again, baby, that I'm really excited for.
Yeah, it's just, it's so small world compared. It's so ground level compared to
some stuff. Well, they are trying to do more stuff like that. You know, She-Hulk, Daredevil's back, you know.
Werewolf at Night.
Hawkeye.
Yeah.
Right. Like they clearly know that that's like a venue they need to have. It can't all just be like space and destiny and things like that. But
yeah.
we'll see. Daniel, as our guest, sorry, Dan.
You're good.
No, in the corner of my eye, it says your full name, and I keep letting.
Yeah, I know. It's my work account, so it's got my full legal name attached.
That's exciting.
Which I could print on legal documents, and they would be legal.
Mine too. I just need to add the doctor to the front. Do you want to give us our plot synopsis of this movie? Do you think?
Shit, I will try.
Do it, man.
All right. So we start off, as all good stories do, at a mob boss's party.
Love it. Yeah. I'm in from here out.
Yeah, it's awesome, except for the fact that the mob boss talks a little bit like Mario.
How we talk. That's an Italian. Sometimes they talk like Mario.
The accent, it just immediately started. And I was like, oh God, like what is going on? It's literally like, he's like, eat up. He's like, a shit in a bag. It, literally a line in the film, by the way. He talks about shitting in a bag. And then the villain, Billy Rosati, is like, that's okay. It saved you a trip to the can, which is just the worst exchange maybe in the first 5 minutes of a movie. But
so amazing, this movie. I mean, but I will say, never have we done a movie where in the first 5 minutes you know exactly what you're gonna get.
That's true. So we start off at this party. We're having a meeting between the villain and the mob boss here. Punisher shows up. And granted, the way Punisher shows up is the best fucking.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. I'm in. This is great.
I will give you that. The introduction, there's no like sneaking in, no like shadows or whatever.
This is like Raimi Spider-Man-esque. It's obviously clearly devoid of the same quality and humanity and characterization that makes those movies so powerful.
All of the things that would make a movie.
No, but I think this has it has a sense that is similar that I appreciate.
Sure.
It's a line I argue with Sudsy a bunch too. It's like, oh, you wanted a movie. You're watching the wrong picture, kid. And I will say, I think the problem is we've been talking so much about Marvel. This is more like a mid-range to fun DC movie. Right? Raining like we're in a Fincher film. Like, there's fucking nonsense. He appears like Batman. It starts almost like the Burton Batman movie, where there's a villain going like, you know what'd be great? Some evil. And then all of a sudden, he takes out the power and appears by a flare. Well, here we go.
It's very weird. This movie feels like it's straight from 2004. It is very odd to think that this came out the same year as the first Iron Man. Very weird.
It is crazy because literally preceding this is The Dark Knight and Iron Man, and then like they end the year with this.
Right, this feels like just before those movies. This feels they're like just before those movies are very much. I don't even want to say in the wake of The Dark Knight, because Dark Knight changes things in not this way.
Yeah,
Dark Knight. I don't want to say. Look, I love The Dark Knight. I think The Dark Knight is an incredible superhero movie. Obviously, I don't need to defend The Dark Knight, whatever. But I think The Dark Knight does do a lot of damage to the superhero genre, right? To the fantasy genre. Because it's like, no, if you want to be taken seriously as a superhero movie or a genre film, you got to be gritty and real. And like, this is one of the last cast-offs before that, I think. Even though this is not, obviously, not a quality outing. But there are other examples of movies we would not get because of those movies.
Sure.
Well, and I was talking to Dan before you got on because, you know, you were late.
I was late.
But we were just talking about, like, this movie was made for less than $40 million in 2008 bucks.
Yeah.
They don't make mid-range action movies anymore. It's a dead genre.
They don't make mid-range movies anymore other than, like, kind of horror.
And so, right. Like, for us, like, The Dark Knight probably cost $150 million to make. And now, like, Avengers Endgame cost $220 million or something, 250. I mean, it made a billion bucks, but this movie doesn't need to make it only made 10, but like if it had made 100, it would have been great. This movie is like that weird kind of mid-range, and for the budget it has, it uses it very efficiently. I mean, you're getting Seinfeld B characters to be in your movie.
Yeah, we'll get to Wayne Knight as Microchip.
Love Wayne Knight.
Yeah.
Love Wayne Knight.
Honestly, one of the better parts of this. So anyways, all right. So Punisher shows up, immediately goes to killing. Like
it's what he does best.
Yeah, but there's not even like an intro, like there's no line, there's no quip, there's no nothing. He just somersaults across the table and slices this Don's throat. And I was like, hell yeah.
Hell yeah. That's
dope as shit.
It was dope as shit.
Evan, I'm not saying there aren't
isn't. I feel like I have to defend it. Everything you say is an attack.
Like, you are coming after this film. I gotta be
this is my fucking Punisher movie.
Evan is coming for the plot synopsis. Like,
he's telling it wrong.
You know what's gonna happen? This is gonna be Dan telling the story of the Ninja Turtles crushing the Shredder, and Evan's gonna be like, and then we crushed them like the Shredder, dude.
Leonardo was a hero, bro.
Hey, Leonardo, did you Shredder the pizza boxes, bro?
What's very funny is out of 10, Dan probably gives this a 5. I probably give this a 6.
that's probably where I'm at. Like a yes. 4 or 5, like somewhere in there. Like there's still like some shit that's working for me.
1 point.
Hell yeah. This is what movie criticism was made for.
This is where it's at, right? It's easy to look at a good movie like, and be like,
if
9.
The three of us were in 8th grade and we were about to spend 6 hours playing GoldenEye or Mortal Kombat, this is what we watch while we're eating pizza and drinking energy drinks.
Yes.
Right before we're hell up all yes. night playing fighting games. And then it's a 9. Like, that's the answer.
Dude, you're totally right. This would be a perfect, like, 8th grade sleepover movie.
That's right.
Oh, my God.
We're double featuring this and Fanboys.
Now, Evan, can we get past the first 7 minutes?
Yeah, sorry. Go on.
Yeah. I'm done. All right. So we have a pretty great intro to The Punisher. We're doing everything. We're literally doing everything but kung fu in this, by the way. We're doing tracking shots of throwing knives. We're doing, he goes full Sia. He's swinging from a chandelier. Like, it's fucking amazing. We're doing all the shit. And Billy takes off, goes to the docks. Punisher gets stopped by the cop who believes in Punisher. Not the one that at the moment we think is out to get Punisher, but is also just like way over eager. What's his name? Soap? Soap is the character's name?
Soap, yeah.
Yeah. But the other one stops him, is like, here, go get him. Punches himself in the face to make it look like, you know, Punisher got away. I feel like that's not selling it, by the way. I feel like if you meet Punisher is shooting you or not touching you. Like, there's one of two ways that goes. But you know. So now we're at the docks. We have a little mob meet and greet. We find out that Dominetti is a undercover FBI agent. And we also meet McGinty, who might be one of my favorite fucking characters in this movie. Because the accent is, again, amazing. It just comes in full Irish brogue, just fucking killing it. Takes some money. It's like, hey, you mind if I head out the roof instead of the door? And you're like, yeah, who gives a shit? And they all parkour. That's McGinty's superpower, by the way. He parkours. As far as I understand it, I don't know. Is this a character from other?
Or McGinty? Is this a,
yeah, is this a Punisher character?
I have.
I'm going to assume yes, because it's so specific. It has to be, but I have no idea.
McGinty is a Punisher movie. Here we go. It's a Punisher character. I mean, or at least is in at least one comic, because there is a drawn version of this character on Wikipedia.
Excellent.
I'm not a huge Punisher guy. I'm a little not to peel behind the curtain and fake fan myself, but I've actually not seen the first one.
No, me either, dude. Who
is? Really?
No. This was a first time watch for me here. I haven't seen either of these. I've seen the Netflix series. The Netflix series was great.
I haven't even seen that. Haven't seen it.
Well, that's fair enough.
Yeah. Anyway.
Anyways, we're meeting McGinty. Punisher shows up. We have another giant shootout in which Dominetti is killed. Walks out of the bathroom, I think. Just walks out of the bathroom, shot in the chest. He looks like a mob guy. This is also when Billy falls into this giant ass like glass crushing machine. Punisher turns it on, it starts working, slices up his face, something fierce. By the way, no one is surviving this. I don't know if people need to be told that, but you can't fall into a giant vat of glass bottles that are shattering and then come out alive. That's literally like...
No, I did it once.
That was Friday, dude.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, friend also...
Buddy of mine did that.
I will say, and as much as I know you dislike this and have been kicked out of the Punisher fan club, Mr. Schumacher, yeah. I will say this is the scene that got me, because one of my favorite movies of all time is 1989's Batman. And this is literally just the Joker, where he falls into a pit. The next scene, we have this B-grade doctor peeling off bandages, and you're like, the tools, you have to see what I've done, the tools. The mirror, like it's almost beat for beat, and it's almost funnier. I just wish they leaned into it just a skosh more, because they're so close to doing it. Just do the whole fucking thing. You know what I mean? Like, it's so close.
For me, it is better, because literally, like, while the doctor's like pulling the bandages off, he's like describing like what they did, like what they had to use, and then like at the end he's like, oh yeah, and also some horse hide. And it's just like, if your doctor's like, yeah, we had to use horse skin to like fix you up, there's no way you can expect what you're about to see to be good.
No, absolutely not. And by the way, we're very clear, it looks like garbage. This is where I'd imagine most of the budget goes to, because he looks like a rejected Frankenstein's monster, and the skin is different textures. And as the movie goes on, it gets more wear and tear. This is a pretty cool effect.
It's real gross. It looks disgusting. And I don't know, like, it looks more disgusting, I think, than it is supposed to. So disgusting, in fact, that the Ink character, who also fucking amazing because his kid's just fucking around the whole movie, throws up upon seeing it. Like, the doctor pulls off the bandages, and the character just immediately just, oh god, throws up. It's fucking fantastic. Oh my god, where are we at? Is that the funeral? Are we at the funeral after
we reveal Jigsaw? Yeah, we're right around there. Yes. We should also introduce, around here, we get introduced to this, the other FBI agent.
Yeah, who, you will not forget his name, because it's the second most used word after Punisher in this movie, is Budiansky.
Budiansky.
Yeah. That's right. And they're doing that thing to introduce him that, like, poor scripts do, where, like, immediately upon introduction of the character, somebody's like, hey, you settle down, full name.
Yeah.
Like... yeah, and we're getting like a little discussion, and it's not even like, you know, there's no real introduction. It's just immediately like, hey, any of us would be upset, Budiansky. Like, it's like, why are we using this dude's full name? And we're using it all the time. The soap character is calling this dude Budiansky left and right. It's amazing.
Yeah, and just if you don't know who this guy is, excuse me, he's an Englishman named Colin Salmon. He's this black guy who's in previous episode Alien versus Predator. He's in Resident Evil. He's in completely forgettable movie Mortal Engines.
I liked Mortal Engines. I mean, it's not good, but
I said forgettable. I didn't say bad.
It's very forgettable. Absolutely. Again, it feels a lot like this, a movie just from a different timeline.
I will also say, what's funny about him is he's English, so he's putting on a really heavy American accent. But he's also like a foot and a half taller than everyone else on set. So when he's talking to people, they all have to look up to him, and they have to do camera tricks to not make him look like a monster.
You know where I know this guy from?
What's that?
A small David Cross TV show called The Increasingly Poor Decisions of Todd and Margaret.
Oh, sure. I do know that show. That's funny.
Yeah. It's a funny show if you haven't seen it. A funny little program.
One of them programs. But he's also like, why haven't you caught this Punisher? And everyone's like, he's kind of killing the bad guys.
Right. They're all like, he's kind of doing
to this poor, like, I don't even know what he's not, but he looks like the guy who gives Jerry a suit for free if he takes him to dinner. Like,
oh yeah.
He's just like this soggy character who's like, the Punisher is kind of cool. He's our comic book fan. He's our resident comic book fan.
Yeah.
He's he's so like over eager. I love it about this character. He's just so like the one cop tells him, he's like, yeah, I saw the Punisher. I honestly thought he was gonna be like, did you get an autograph? Like,
right.
You know, he's just so fucking happy. He's like, ooh, let me take a statement about the Punisher, a statement. Like
Martin Soap is the character's name, and he just plays this like soggy little character. By the way, he's also been in previous episodes, The Day After Tomorrow, and Romeo plus Juliet, where he plays Benvolio. So, like, again, these are, I don't know what they told them, but the character actors in this movie are pretty good.
I think that character actors are, you know, we talk about the difference between, like, you know, superhero movies now and superhero movies then, right? Character actors are kind of, not that we don't have any, but when you think about what, like, Walton Goggins was able to do in Ant-Man 2, like, it was kind of nothing, which I would say, you know, when you give a bone to one of the best character actors of our time, and he's pretty forgettable, like, what are you doing, guy? Come on, like J.K. Simmons would never be able to put J. Jonah Jameson now into Spider-Man. Obviously, he's there now because of the legacy.
Right.
You would never, it would never be like that, no, ordinarily.
Right. By the way, Ray Stevenson, the guy who plays our Punisher, which I haven't mentioned yet, is in fact in Thor as another character. He's one of Thor's little war buddy. He's the one who looks like Gimli the dwarf.
Oh, weird.
Big bushy beard.
Oh,
okay.
So yeah. He's in the MCU.
He's in the MCU as a different character.
Sure. I think he's like fucking great in this movie.
Yeah, he's totally fine. They ask him to be a badass who can't, who's like, I'm having emotional problems with it without a family.
Yeah.
As Batman is behind me. And that's what he gets.
He's full stag.
Yeah.
From the three, the whatever they're called. The trio. The Warriors 3, that's it.
Oh, okay.
The Warriors 3.
The one that's Zach Levi and then's not Zach Levi or isn't Zach Levi and then suddenly is Zach Levi.
The Ghostly Trio?
Yeah. I can't remember which order it is. Yeah.
Yeah, so, I mean, I'll let you keep taking us through the plot if you want. At this point, though, like, I think in the movie, we do have the full Joker reveal where he does the full scene. He then murders the doctor by shoving scissors through his head
straight through. The two mafia guys come back in and they're like shocked that he killed the doctor. It's like, what the fuck did you think was going to happen, by the way?
Right.
Like I need to have a word with this person alone. Would you two mafia people wait outside? It's not a like, oh, we're just gonna have a conversation moment.
By the way, I know this is a time period and it's the wrong movie, but for half a second, I could have sworn it was M. Night Shyamalan was the doctor and just he was cameoing in someone else's movie.
This is not the wrong time period for that.
No, absolutely not. I don't know if it's here or before we've talked about it, but right around here is also where we get Frank Castle's backstory, kind of, where he goes to the graveyard. He's desperately trying to scrub some like fungus, some sort of like, you know, a lichen off of the grave, has a flashback to a beautiful pristine picnic day where he's covered in blood and his family is dead, which is a lot when you're holding like a Subway sandwich. Like, it's so much. He's like, ooh, like he's practically holding up the blood in his hands. We get the story another 45 minutes a second time, like an hour later. We're almost there.
Yeah.
But we smash cut from him sat at the grave to them freeling Victor Zsasz from prison.
Yeah, this the it's what is Looney Bin Jim is what everyone's calling him. And he played by the guy from The Green Mile. I can't remember I can't remember the character's name now. But he's played by the shitty little weasel faced guard.
Yeah, his name is Doug Hutchinson here. Or the actor is Doug Hutchinson. In Green Mile, he's Percy.
Yes, right? That's it.
Percy
yes.
Wetmore.
Is he not anything else?
Nothing of note that I noticed.
Oh, okay.
Actually, for you, Evan, he's in a lot of video games because he's just got that voice. He was in Far Cry 5, Far Cry 3.
Oh.
And he was in Lost and 24. Like, He's just this.
Oh, dude. Yeah. So I haven't seen Lost Over 24. So this guy totally. No idea who this is.
Character actor, kind of creepy. Also, he's the one who reminds us we're probably in Boston because he sounds like he was right. He got kicked out of the Red Sox game.
yes.
I mean, because he's like, he is fucking right from Southie. And it's incredible. He's, hey, you know, you kept denying me my apple sauce. And I'm just like, whoa, whoa, whoa. How many syllables are in sauce? And well, he's like, you know, apple sauce goes from your stomach to your kidneys. I'm going to eat your fucking kidneys, bro. And he goes at him like Mark Wahlberg after a Patriots denier. Well, like, it's incredible.
No, so he has this thing where he's one of these guys where, like, right before they kill you in a horrific way, they have to tell you, like, a fact about, like, whatever's going to be done. So his thing is like, yeah, did you know that applesauce and kidneys are a delicacy in Sweden? And then, like, later he's like, the tongue stretches fucking farther than people even fucking know, bro. And that he's doing this, like, all the time, like... Every time before he kills somebody, he's like, I gotta let him know, because why wouldn't you want to let a little more light into your life before you fucking die, bro?
90% of my knowledge, bro, comes from the back of a placemat at an IKEA.
Right. Like, it's just all this shit. But yeah, he fucking, this guard who he's disgustingly eating his applesauce in front of him.
Fucking, which again, just, I don't know this the Punisher world very well, but like, yeah. This screams bad clinician or bad nurse at Arkham Asylum, right? Like, because he's like chained up like he's like he's Hannibal Lecter or something.
And well, if he's like, eating people,
they shove like 12 pills of lithium down his throat, yeah. And he's like, and this fat dude comes out, and again, like, he is cartoonishly fat. Yeah. And he comes out and goes, would you like some applesauce? And he's like, he's doing the little airplane thing into his mouth. Yes. And he's like, applesauce for me. And he
just like, they do make a spectacle of it for sure.
I mean, everyone, like, there was no craft services for all the scenery was eaten. Like, oh my God. This movie is fucking bonkers. And I love it.
But yeah, so he gets taken out and cannibalized. By this guy.
Yeah.
And that's how we're introduced to Looney Bin Jim. And then we're smash cutting. We're just, there's no like real transition. It's just Punisher on the porch,
right,
of this widow and her child. The child's out there drawing, and he's just like, oh, let me interact with this child I've never met before on her front porch. I'm going to hand her a flashlight because I was standing in her light.
Mention here, he's here because one of the people killed in the first shootout was an FBI agent that was embedded. And he didn't know that, and he feels bad because he killed, quote, one of the good guys. Right.
I'm not a huge Punisher guy. Am I wrong that, like, he doesn't think cops are good guys, right? Like, he is that not the character?
He's pretty anti-cop.
Yeah. Okay.
He's basically just so anti-disestablishment. At least, again, not a huge Punisher guy. Read a few team-ups here and there.
Yeah.
You know. But from my understanding of the character, at least the core of the character, is he's basically just like, I think everything has fucking failed me, including the systems. So I'm going to, like, I'm going to just grab life by the reins, basically, and he's
right.
He's not necessarily like horribly anti-cop. He's just kind of anti anything.
Would he be like, this crisis seems so like just odd to me that he's like, sure, I killed one of the good guys. I can't believe it. I gotta retire.
Yeah, this is weird. At least in my, if there's a Punisher fan listening right now, feel free to be like, well, actually, but my understanding, him being remorseful is pretty much not something he deals with unless it's a character of like high moral caliber kind of forcing him to reckon with it.
I see, like, right. To me, this is not like, I mean, you could interpret this as Gotham-ish, like Commissioner Gordon-ish, but to me it's more post 9/11. We can't say cops are bad guys. Cause yes. Like, to me, in this world, the problem is that the cops, like, and they say this, they just can't nail the mafia guys. But in the Punisher's real world, it's because all the cops are on the take, and here it's just the darn system. And so he kills an FBI agent who was actually doing his job, and that's why he feels guilty, which is why I'm sure if you look to the source material, if you check the footnotes, this is probably mostly based on a comic story, but that's the change, right? He killed a cop. He feels bad about it here. And so he's trying to give money to the family. It's also a really lazy, like kind of limp-wristed deus ex machina, because eventually, since he doesn't have a family, they're going to become his proxy family later.
Which, right.
Right.
No, that's immediately like what he's doing. He's like, oh, you like remind me of my daughter. And like, yeah. There's like this immediate like chemistry between like this girl and him. And it's like, why? Like it's just immediately they're like best buds. And she's like, oh, like the Punisher's so great. And it's like, one, who's telling you about the Punisher? Like, maybe this is a bit too much for an 8-year-old right. process at the time. But like, no, it's just odd to me. The mom comes out with a gun. She's like, I'm gonna shoot you. And she's, by the way, she's point blank with a headshot. Mr. Punisher, you don't need to move it down to your armored chest and be like, no, do it here. This will matter.
It's next like, time when you inevitably shoot me in the body armor. Thank you.
Right, exactly.
I will also say, not since Face Off do we have so much threat of child death. Like,
yeah.
Because, like, we have him in a in a park covered in child blood, and then probably the same actress with her part on the other side is like, are you going to be my future daddy? And you're like, no, I'm just the Punisher. but the mom comes out, she's swinging for the fences here, because she's like, get the hell out of here.
Yeah. I honestly, if she took a shot, great. Like, Take the shot, do it in the body armor. I don't give a fuck. Like, we can do that.
I mean, we save our one headshot for Wayne Knight, and I'll take it, though. Like,
that's fair.
Okay. We're not quite there yet. One group we haven't introduced yet. Are there three dudes led by a guy in dreadlocks who is supposed to be collecting a whole bunch of money for Dominic West, who is Billy the Butcher, or Billy the Butte. And now is Jigsaw. And essentially, when the Punisher burns everything down and blows up everything, they lose all their money. So now he's trying to get his money back. My favorite death of all time in any movie I've ever seen is this parkour nonsense. There's a lot of parkour nonsense in this.
This is the most 2008 part. This is the part of that movie that's aged the worst, I think.
Not only the parkour nonsense, but all of a sudden a surface-to-air missile makes one of these people disappear like it's a shitty magic trick. And all of a sudden he jumps across and this missile makes him turn to nothing. And everyone looks around like, what the fuck just happened? And I've never laughed so hard. And it's funny because, like, again, my wife had fallen asleep on the couch. She wakes up and looks at me and I'm like, yeah, that's what's happening in this film.
It is
now. That's a picture. Like, this is so great.
The scene is so weird because, like, it's set up like they're about to do like a musical theater number. Like the setting, like there's like one guy like really high. There's like an open like middle space for whoever's like in it. Like the one guy's a little lower, but still like up, so you can like get a clear picture.
I don't think it's too far to say that this whole movie kind of has a musical theater lilt to it, right? There's a lot of staging. There's a lot of like the choreography. I don't want to say it's obviously, you know, actually saying, but
no fight choreography, totally.
You know,
like it's very. Yeah, I mean, it's big, it's brassy, it's over the top. Like,
you know what would be great? Throw in a musical number, a Fever Dream musical number. Fuck it, this movie's a 10 out of 10.
10 out of 10.
Yeah,
and it's direct. I mean, and again, he's problematic. Whatever. It's right out of Dr. Horrible. Like, he's having inner monologue and he blows up someone and then all of a sudden it's a song.
Yeah.
The director of this movie, for the record, did not really do anything else, at least as far as my research showed.
No, not really.
Yeah.
Maybe a big TV director.
Lexi Alexander.
It's a woman, though. So, you know, women can direct crappy action movies too, y'all. It's 2022.
Yeah, I think she's done a lot of like TV stuff. She's done some like episodes of
Marvel, yeah, it's, Marvel, but like not that much, right? It's just an episode.
No, not even that much, really. It's just, but like they've been decently like prominent shows. I if I remember it correctly.
Let's see here. You know, I've got it pulled up in front of me. We've got the Boy Meets World in 97. Oh no, she was on. She was on it. She was an actress.
Oh shit.
She did not direct it. No. She directed an episode of Black Box TV. An episode of Arrow. That doesn't surprise me. This feels like a worse or a better version of Arrow or any of those other DC shows. Directed an episode of Supergirl, an episode of Limitless, American Gothic. I don't know what that is. Taken, an episode of the... A lot of, like, shows that were movies first. Yeah. How to Get
A lot of things that would make you go, that person should direct a Punisher movie.
She's kind of the queen of directing an episode of a show that your friend at work watches that you do not.
Okay, yeah, so yeah. The answer to all of our queries is a movie called Green Street Hooligans. Came out 3 years before this. Stars Elijah Wood, like you know it would. And Claire Forlani. If you don't know who Claire Forlani is, you don't watch enough Kevin Smith movies. Well, she was in Mallrats, and she was in Mystery Men, previous unwatchable movie episode.
I watched Mallrats and really, really wanted to like it. Or not Mallrats. Love Mallrats. Mystery Men. I mean,
Mystery Men is awful.
I wanted to like it. I was like,
Wait, whoa, Schumacher, shut up. Wait, you love Mystery Men?
I fucking love that movie. It is so goddamn dumb. It speaks directly to like, what I might have been like 6 or 7 when it came out, and that's when I saw it. And buddy, let me tell you, the fart jokes were slapping.
I definitely watched it too old. I definitely missed it as an adult. But even like in the rear view, I had a hard time being like, I bet I would have liked this as a kid. Like,
it's one of those.
Even like, if we don't remake this movie, you and I have to talk about this.
Yes.
But just like the idea that someone went up to, you know, the casting director went to the director and goes, don't worry, I cast the funny one from Kenan and Kel. And they're like, you mean Kenan Thompson? And they're like,
oh, no.
I made a huge mistake.
Oops.
Oh, bud.
Mitchell
is funny.
The movie has fun. And so is Pee Wee Herman, who's his buddy in that movie.
Yeah. Yeah, he's the fart guy.
There's like some good stuff happening in Mystery Men. Like Jeannie Garofalo, I think is pretty funny. Ben Stiller's bit of like, I'm just going to get really angry. You know, like it's funny. It just doesn't really amount to much.
Yeah. Tim Burton was supposed to direct it and then disappeared into the night one day.
Yeah.
I'm not going to lie. Thank God for that. Like, I don't know if I could do Tim Burton and all of that. Like,
no, that was when he was good.
Well, yeah, I just it's a bit much. I rewatched Beetlejuice recently and I was like, all right, this is a great movie. Like, don't get me wrong, but
yeah.
Tim Burton is strong here, and Tim Burton's like a take it or leave it kind of thing for me.
I don't know. Tim Burton is
a strong spice. You know, if you're expecting to have a ham sandwich, you don't want pumpkin spice in it.
Tim Burton is sun-dried tomatoes. We all fucking loved it in the 90s, but for the love of God, we don't know what we're doing with it now.
Anyway, so I mentioned that because I'm going to read to you the description of this movie that had Claire Forlani and our director, Lexi Alexander, and Elijah Wood from, you know, The Hobbit. A wrongful expelled Harvard undergrad moves to London, where he is introduced to the violent world of football hooligans. That earns you a Punisher movie and also adds you a space on my to watch list. Like,
yeah, I'm not going to lie. This movie, I'm going to have to check it out. That sounds all right.
Yeah. And again, at least Claire Forlani pretends to have an American accent. Doesn't have to. She's in England now. She's totally fine. anyway, so at this point, somewhere around here, we meet Microchip. He is living in a townhouse with doilies because his old mother is on a shoestring here. I bet you she's long for this world.
He is also, like, unnaturally keeping this woman alive, right? Like, she should have passed probably.
And he's also feeding her applesauce or oatmeal or something parallel to the previous scene we saw, right?
Yes.
That's good scene construction right there.
Hell yeah, it rhymes.
But also, he also has all these secret gun passages, like we're watching Men in Black or something. And it's very cartoonish.
It is very comic booky.
Excuse me?
Like, it is very comic booky, like Evan was saying earlier. Like, this kind of thing is straight out of a comic book, where, like, neon lit panels of guns are popping out of, like, old armoires and shit. Like, right. It's very good.
Well, and to me, too, very Batman. From everything from Batman 66 down through, at this point, Lucius Fox, right? Where yep. He's just tapping things like, oh, Mr. Wayne, we've got some special guns here. And they're all backlit with black light, like we're in a fucking like Hot Topic or something. It's yeah. really, it's really something.
This is very a very Hot Topic film, for sure.
Sure.
It, I mean, the whole thing is just very time-stamped, right? In that way.
Man. Oh, dude, yeah, totally. Yeah. I just got out of college. We're fine here. And... like, we're also introduced here to weirdly sexually aggressive FBI agent and his fanboy are like, we're gonna try to finally catch Punisher. We have a fight scene in an alley where FBI agent is not getting the message that he has to save, I think it's Dominic's family.
Yeah, yeah.
And so while he's handcuffed, because again, the problem is here too, perhaps, the Punisher always has to be right, which makes it kind of awkward, because even in The Dark Knight, the Batman screws some things up or needs to hear it from the audience like we're watching wrestling. And so here, where he's like, you know, you've got to let me help the FBI agent's family. And the guy's like, no, we can't do it. You have to come in. He knocks him out, they handcuff each other, and he's like, you motherfucker.
I thought we were going to get like a dope buddy cop thing going on where they're handcuffed for the rest of the
movie. See, that's what I'm talking about with the MCU thing. That is sort of what I thought they were setting up here, but like that's what you'd have to do now. Yeah. Clearly they don't do that.
Well, yeah. The only difference is if this was the second movie, it would be Daredevil stopping him, because Daredevil has a different moral code.
Yeah, absolutely.
Right? Yep.
But we need another person who's his equal. And the problem is, in this universe, he always has to be right. That's why Batman kind of gets the get-out-of-jail-free card, because Commissioner Gordon is the one who has the power to shut him up.
Well, and Batman is operating from, like, a moral high ground, right? That's, like, the whole thing is that, like, Bruce Wayne's going to do what's right. Punisher, not necessarily.
And that's why the Joker is such an interesting character, because Batman wants to kill the Joker. Bruce Wayne doesn't. And Gordon occasionally has to put his hand on his shoulder and say, you've got to let the system work.
Yeah, he's got the moral compass in Gordon. Punisher does not have that.
And unfortunately, yeah. This universe makes it so the system works. If it was Sin City, which is a movie that, well, maybe we'll talk about one day. The system is broken in Sin City. It would be better if here there was a corrupt motherfucker who was an ally with the crime family who was trying to stop the Punisher, because then right. He doesn't have to listen to anyone. And so all of a sudden, maybe he realized that Badansky is his ally. And then there's character development. But here the Punisher's never wrong. He's just told, like, instead it's Spider-Man 2 where he doesn't want to kill. And all of a sudden they're told, you know what? You should keep killing.
keep doing this. It's all right.
The character is never in this movie, at least. And maybe just because it's a sequel and maybe there was a journey already. But the character's never really confronted with, not really anyway, any sort of quandary, right?
No, this movie's very, like, it has no, like, teeth in that way.
No, it's pornographic, right?
Yeah, it's just gun porn. Like it's odd, man. This movie's fucking odd. I don't know if I like it. Like, I keep being like, oh, this was cool, this is dope, and then I'm like, wait, but this movie was shit.
It was.
Case in point, there's a cop that so far has been on our side, but when they arrest the bad dudes, Jigsaw and the family, he's like, guess what? Sorry, I gotta go full like Kennedy, like Arrow, you know. There's a bunch of jabronis here that are gonna, you know, they're technically the Yankees fans, so it's okay. We're gonna turn them over because they're gonna try to blow up the entire East Coast, you know. And so,
which is also a completely undeveloped plot, by the way. All we get is some like racist shit about Middle Eastern people wanting these biological weapons. Also, never even said what it was. It's just like in the beginning of the movie, they're like, "What are you bringing in, a biological container? Biological, I fucking knew it." Like,
yeah, bro, we're trying to make a bunch of Ninja Turtles here. We got the secret of the youth right in this bitch. Right. Like, and it's literally, they open a, like a metal case and it's filled with like, I don't even know what, like they're about to start Chernobyl or make Ninja Turtles. I don't know what to tell you.
It's just, it's this giant case filled with four vials of Windex. That's it. They're not
Windex
labeled.
And black lights. That's all we got.
They're not labeled. There's no warning on it. It's just, it's got the little biohazard symbol and it's fucking Windex. It's like, I watched my big fat Greek wedding. They're putting that shit on everything.
It's the fucking secret of the ooze right here, motherfucker. Hey, yo. And then in the other suitcase, they have $1 trillion.
Yes.
And then they open up the garage door and there's 12 million cops. It's so literally the end of Blues Brothers. And it's amazing.
It is.
It's and then yeah.
Go ahead.
Oh, well, what in the meantime, in between all this, we do get introduced to the hideout of Billy, of Mr. Jigsaw.
Right.
As he prefers to be called. And it's great because we have this little scene where he like stares at his reflection. He's not beautiful no more. And his brother's like, don't worry, you'll never have to look at a reflection when I'm around. And there's a way overextended scene of this dude hopping around and dancing and smashing mirrors for him. And he's like laughing and ha ha ha, this is so great. And it's like, you know what works? One fucking mirror. Pull a mirror out of your pocket, punch it, be like, see, that's symbolic of the future, what's going to go on. But no, this movie is too on its shit.
Every reflective surface, even when they're arrested before the heist here.
Yeah.
The mirror is smashed, the camera is smashed. It's amazing. Like, it's almost a running joke in a Mel Brooks movie. It's really right. Something. I'll also mention too, at this point, he's taken the fallen FBI agent's family to his like grody lair. Again, speaking of Ninja Turtles, this is where the Foot Clan hangs out. It's just, it's nonsense. It's
Jigsaw. Yeah, it's like a sewer, like or just like a warehouse or.
It's very Blade. It reminded me a lot of the Blade.
Sure. Like, you know?
Yeah.
Like the way they're at the like dance club or whatever.
No. Like his like hideout where like right.
Like the high rise, the like the apartment thing.
Maybe it's not Blade. Maybe it's Blade 2. I'm thinking of, but like his like hideout is in like a warehouse like this. Like it's
I think that's Blade 2 because Blade 1, the hideout is mostly just like a fancy apartment. If I'm remembering correctly, Blade fans, feel free to correct me. Yeah, vampires are my people
in the
now.
Comments.
Yeah. Right. And this is also the scene that's like, hey, daughter who looks like my daughter, you want to play with that snow globe? It was my daughter's favorite toy, which first of all, no one under the age of like 75 considers a snow globe a toy.
Or their favorite.
Or their favorite. And she's shaking like, it and it's like, I mean, if the snow globe said Rosebud, it would be less subtle. But like, this thing is all like, you know, you could be my future family. And then after a deep breath, we smash cut to our serial killer buddy who's just smashing every mirror in the place.
Yeah.
That's kind of his character, and that's how we are. That's how the rest of the movie is.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. We went back to talk about that. I mean, so we've done the drug deal. Sorry, it's not a drug deal. It's a biological deal, but we don't know what the biological thing is.
Right.
Unexplored plot. So
this thing is supposed to temporarily, at least, get them immunity. Right. Yeah. Like we're gonna save 100,000 lives or whatever it is.
Not only does it give them immunity, the FBI gives them the fucking money. They give them $12 million, okay? Which, like, already, the like, immunity or, like, either or, okay? Like, you'd have $12 million to spend at the commissary, or you can be free, you know?
Right.
But not only do they give them these two completely insane things for what they have done, they also give them a file on Wayne Knight.
Right.
They're like, here's all of the information you will need to commit your next crime.
Against sir. Wayne Knight.
Against Wayne and Knight.
Let me tell you how jarring he is in this movie. Like, when you first see Wayne Knight, it's Wayne Knight. Like, it's Space Jam's own.
Well, I mean, first of all, let's back up a little bit. It's Jurassic Park's own, because he's the computery nerdy expert guy. And he's like, he's also become like this black market, like, gun distributor, because he's like, you know, if you go up to Virginia, they don't do background checks or whatever that line is. And you're just
he's like, I found a couple of Saudis who will sell me some rocket launchers. I've been catfishing them as like some like Saudi weapons dealer or whatever.
Yeah, and it's like Michigan militia nonsense.
Yes. And Punisher's immediately like, I don't give a shit about that. I'm dealing with personal trauma, bro. Like,
yeah. And again, that's why I screams the tick here, because he's just crying wearing a sarong.
But nobody can see him cry.
Here's where we get the fact that this exists in the Daredevil universe, because he goes to church around here, and it's a Frank Miller church with a neon cross outside. And he's talking to the priest, like, you know, we used to go together in like high school or whatever. And he's like, I know you're a bad dude. He goes, yeah, but I'm a bad dude, but I'm trying to kill even worse dudes. And he goes, you know, but God takes people in the way that they take others. And he goes, if I could only get my hands on God. And at this point you realize, oh, so is there a Punisher movie in the future where he fights God? Because I don't know, man. Those God of War games are pretty good, but if he's just shooting rocket launchers at God, better
holy
movie.
Shit. I would watch it.
Meanwhile, yeah. Across town, wearing a fencing jersey or whatever the fuck he's wearing, Jigsaw is recruiting all the goons in town.
Yeah.
Arkham Asylum, eat your heart out. He's behind him is an American flag. And it's him and an extra from Breaking Bad saying, you want to kill the Punisher? We're going to get 1,000 guys.
To be fair, I loved the little like American flag, like, be a fucking patriot, kill the Punisher. Like, it's fucking fantastic. It was just so odd and like, just why so is this?
This is
there?
Actually when I looked up the director's work, is because I was like, what fucking like... what other propaganda-y movies has this person done? And it turns out a non-zero amount.
What Lenny Riefenstahl nonsense is it? Like, he practically puts his hand on his heart. Oh, fucking beautiful for spacious goddamn sky. Like, and he even ends the line with, like, be all that you can fucking be. Like, we're in a cartoon.
Is,
and by the way,
awesome.
This movie is 145.
Yeah, and this is
we are like half movie. An hour away from a blood, like the last half hour is just a bloodbath. And
it is the raid, by the way. The last raid, the ending of the movie is just the fucking raid, which also better goddamn movie if this is just or not even the raid, but Dredd, the newest like Judge Dredd. Fucking if they just did that with Punisher, hell yeah. Like, I'm all on board. Skip all the bullshit in the first half. The FBI agent, nobody gives a shit. Like, we could throw out the family. It's just, I kidnapped Wayne Knight. Now fight through this fucking building of people who want your fucking guts. And then kill me. But Wayne Knight dies.
That's right. And so how it is we have Wayne Knight. He's bloody. He's wearing a gag. He has his glasses all broken. And
I feel like you guys aren't hitting Wayne Knight enough.
Wayne Knight?
No, not. I mean, I just mean, I feel like you're not saying it with the like. Wayne Knight is so out of place here. Like,
the thing is, the problem is, you fuck up Jurassic Park, you're stuck being a goon. I don't know what to tell you. But like, it just starts with Wayne Knight in the trunk of a car, like you're watching Goodfellas. And then all of a sudden, he like smashes the back of the car. The Punisher opens the lid and he goes, thanks, Punisher. And then we smash cut to who he is, right? Like all of it is told in meteoresque. Like we see him shoot a guy and he goes, I fucking killed your kids. And then he's dead now. Like, and it's just a bunch of, it's half Tree of Life and it's half like Doom 3. Like, I don't know what to tell you.
Yeah.
Because like at this point, he's also Spider-Man. He's jumping from building to building, smashing through and just killing people. Like the last half hour of this, we almost don't have to talk about, we will, but the movie is just like, well, he's going to kill another dude, another dude. Is that a
It's kind of like, I mean, it's funny that it's called, the guy is called fucking Jigsaw, because it kind of plays out not dissimilarly to a Saw movie.
Well, especially the last 10 minutes. He's
yeah, that's right.
Play a game. Who's going to survive? I mean, it's also half Schumacher's Batman and Robin, right? The girl you had sex with once, or this boy you may or may not be having sex with once. You got to pick in Batman. No, Forever. Batman Forever. But like, I also like, again, the last 20 minutes is set up like a modern video game because there's smoke everywhere.
It does feel like a PlayStation 3 game. And I don't necessarily mean that.
No, you're fine.
In a bad way or a good
2008,
way.
It's PlayStation.
It just 3. Does feel like a PlayStation 3 game.
Like, yeah, you do have to beat one level and then like you get to the next level and there's some guys from the last level, but also there's a new enemy type on this new level and you got to learn their pattern before That's you right. can move on. Yeah.
And the first time you try it, you try to shoot him and he kills you. So the second time you put a grenade in a paint can and you kick it into the room.
Yeah. Like, or am I thinking incorrectly that he shoots a rocket through a fucking like peephole in a door?
He does.
No, he does. It's awesome. This is the action in this movie is, we're not giving it enough credit because it is very clever. Like 100% the redeeming quality of this movie is that the action kind of fucking rules. Like it is fun and it is weird and it is comic booky and pulpy and it's stupid, yeah, but like come on, it's for action hounds. Like,
and again, if she's German, if it was in German we'd be like brava,
yeah,
or like it was a
I don't trust movie, those Germans,
and it was in Cantonese you're just like, oh yes, oh my goodness, oh Jackie Chan can do that too, like. And I mean, like we have two fight scenes at the end of this and one is like you know, it's a trolley, like one of those trolley problems. But the first bit of it is our cannibal friend is in the bathroom and he has a slobber knocker. Like this is a WWE fight. He's like throwing him through walls and through bathroom stalls. The dude is a vampire. He's biting him in the neck. They're flinging around. And then after one last punch, we end up in the, like, effectively what's the final scene, which is, again, you've been playing GoldenEye for 6 hours, and now you're at the final level. They're at the roof of this skyscraper, and we've got Jigsaw in his bloody now fencing outfit, and he's got Microchip. And on the other side, we've got the mother and daughter of the FBI agent, the Dominic family, along with Cannibal Holocaust. And so in between, they have to make a choice. Frank Castle, Punisher. Who are you gonna save and who are you gonna kill? Again, because this is a Punisher movie, it just means more people have to die. He looks at Microchip and he says, it's only, you're not gonna feel a thing. He points the gun and then he turns and kills Zsasz, right, Victor Zsasz, right in the fucking head. And then our buddy Jigsaw in his lame shoots a Microchip through the head and they have a fight to the death. And chef kiss, we've got ourselves a movie.
It's the way that Jigsaw is killed is fantastic because he gets this giant metal spear straight through the body.
Awesome. This is what I'm talking about.
What's fantastic about it? I laughed out loud at work. I startled several of my coworkers. Is he stabs him, it goes straight through, but then there's like this little bit where he's like, oh shit, you missed your mark, and he like moves him over just like a little bit. It's like a foot further. It's like, what are you doing? Like, what's that? Like, you're not stabbing him more. You're just moving him on the thing. Like, mm-hmm. what? So you can get better centering? Like, it's just so odd. It was like, just let's reshoot that scene, maybe. Just go through in one motion. We do it clean this time.
Well, but it's also so funny because he also kicks his back through. Again, Batman. He breaks his spine on this thing. And yet, yeah. like, he's Jason Voorhees. He comes up a third time. Yeah. And then he lights on fire. And you're just like, well, I guess he's dead. And then you have the stitches melting off his face.
The eye. Eye.
Fire coming out of his eyeball. He
gets a little General Grievous action in there.
Right?
Yeah.
And then they walk out of the building. And the girl and the mother walk away. And our fanboy's like, would you like a drink or something? Everyone walks away. And at the end, he's walking with Punisher with his arm over his shoulder. Punisher's limping. And then he fucking Dark Knight disappears.
Yeah.
And he's like, well, gee willikers, I was going to have a Bud Light with him. And I know Punisher drinks Bud Heavy. And all of a sudden.
Punisher is a Miller High Life guy. The champagne of beers.
See, to me, I think Punisher, he's a Four Loko guy because he needs that drunk, but he also needs that energy. He's a little bit of both.
You never know what he's gonna do, but that's right. Somebody's gonna die.
And then like this mugger who's out of Sons of Anarchy is like, you know, give me your wallet. He's like, ring. And then all of a sudden we cut to black. And you hear a gunshot, and the guy goes, there's brains all over me!
And
you're
just and like, that is the movie. Before we do the little cut to black, fucking, he's standing in front of the neon church. We got a cross that says, Jesus saves. No, no, no. Now it just says, saves, and the Punisher is there.
Yes!
And that's our guitar.
That's a Brian Michael Bendis panel, if ever there was one.
That's the thing. Is there are these shots that I'm like, technically, like this movie does so much right. Like the actual soundtrack, not the licensed music, but like the actual like composed music for this is great. Like it's very like it fits with that character for me. Like it works. Like there's some shots that I'm like, all right, that's a decent shot. It's just in the middle of this, like, what the fuck is going on?
My hot take is you can't do a better Punisher movie. Like you cannot be both very, very like honest to the source material and do something wildly different than this. There's a better version of this, but the best Punisher, the best and most honest Punisher, I think is very similar to this movie. It's better, right? It's Carl Urban probably plays Punisher. It's probably like Dread, right? This movie kept wanting to watch Dread after this movie.
Yeah, if you just watch, honestly, like if you watch Dread and just painted a fucking skull like on your screen, if you just had like a paper skull and you like taped it onto the screen as Carl Urban's walking around to like match up with his chest, that's a Punisher movie and it's better.
Yeah.
I don't know. I mean, I will say, this is a movie that exists without Kevin Feige, and you can sniff that a mile away. I don't know if that's bad or good. It's just that, like,
you know, I think I have the be all end all take on this movie. Best watched in YouTube clips. You find the fucking 8 best moments from this movie and you relish in them.
That is honestly, that is the take, man. That's like, there's some shit that works, and I'm gonna show my friends some of the moments from this movie. I would never be like, yo, let's sit down, watch Punisher Warzone, bro. Like,
I would if I was in eighth grade. Again, this is a great.
Yeah, but we're not in eighth grade, Evan.
Yeah, but I want to go back there. I'm gonna play Halo 2. I do too,
man.
I'm gonna drink fucking Mountain Dew Voltage, and I forget.
I don't know. I mean,
Pizza Hut.
The thing I like about this movie is, like, in some ways, it doesn't. These movies nowadays have to connect to so much other stuff.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I just like a movie that's like, I'm going to make a superhero movie and fuck it. right? It's kind of like the I mean, I'm not going to compare these two because the two I'm going to say are much better movies, but like Batman 89, Superman 77, they just don't care about having Wonder Woman show up. Like the second Daredevil shows up, and a lot of this, like especially the scene in the Catholic Church, Daredevil could have shown up.
Yeah.
But like Daredevil being a leash on Punisher makes this a different movie. Like, and in fact, if you took, say, the final 30 minutes of this, made it its own like opening to another movie, like a Bond's last thing before the credit sequence, mm-hmm. and then Daredevil shows up to make him a more respectable hero, that's what Marvel would have done to this property.
Yeah, well, I think they would have stuck him with the whole time, right?
I think the issue with the whole like MCU, and you're talking about like Kevin Feige not being a part of this at all, and you can sense that, and I 100% agree with that. But then you have the issue of, well, there's a reason though that like most of the MCU is fucking quality. Like, right. we can talk all day about the sanitization of these characters and like making them form fit into this giant puzzle of, you know, it's, yeah, you know, am I going to go see every fucking Marvel movie? Probably. Do I know what I'm getting every time? Yeah. You know,
yeah, I mean, fast, it's like going to your, it's going food. To a restaurant you like, right? It's maybe not your favorite restaurant, but it's the one you go to lunch a lot.
Yeah. It's the fast food of movies. They know what the fuck they're doing. There's a process.
I would even go so far as to say it's like the Moe's, right? It's better than fast food.
Well, sure. You know, but I guess what my point is more the consistency, right? It's like if you ever talk to like beer brewers, they're very like, we actually fucking respect the shit out of Bud Light because it's the same goddamn beer every single fucking time.
Yeah.
And that's an almost impossible to achieve thing for people starting out brewing.
Oh, yeah.
You
know?
And so it's one of those things like you have to respect the consistency and that sort of thing. So yeah, you're losing out on this experimentation. And I 100% agree with you, Evan, that like that should come into play now. Like we've done what, 10, 12, 18 years. I don't know how fucking long it's been. These movies have existed since I've been alive, basically.
14? You talk MCU?
Yeah, 14. 14 is the correct number.
Again, 2008. Iron Man 1.
And we've done like 1.5 decades of this, and they have been consistent every time. And now maybe we're getting to the point after 30 films or whatever where we can start doing experimenting, and we're doing it in the TV shows and stuff. But I'd like to see it on the big screen. I'd like to see some Saw-esque, you know, fucking superhero movies. That'd be dope as shit.
I mean, frankly, for me, the problem is I want more broken characters. Remember in Avengers Endgame where we have what's his name? Jeremy Renner being like this ninja character killing everyone because he's mad.
How interesting was that?
I mean, yeah. I just want more of that. And that's what the Punisher is. Like, he's unhinged and he's killing people because he sees organized crime as his enemy, which is cool. Just bring me something. Like, and again, I in the end like this movie because it's unhinged. I don't know if it's a good Marvel movie or comic movie. It's just an unhinged movie. But for me, the Punisher, by definition, is someone who wants to punish. And the fact that the only thing the priest says is like, you deserve to be in hell for this. And he's like, yeah. And he's like, well, that's,
and I'm gonna take God with me.
I don't know. I kind of like this, and I just, and even if it's a spice they sprinkle in, I think it'd be good in the MCU.
Well, I think to me it's kind of that feeling of like, okay, think of it kind of like this, right? Where I'm just so, if we're going to the restaurant analogy here, I've eaten at the same restaurant every day for 14 years. That like, even if it's not as good, I still appreciate it just being something new and different, right? Like, we haven't seen any movies that look like this in a long time, you know? And I think I appreciate at least some of that. Nick, what is going on in your background right now? That's sorry, I know this is an audio format.
That is, What is this, prehistoric Punisher? Is that what we're doing?
Sad.
Yeah, a little bit. A little swimsuit edition, looking good.
There's some dinos in there. This is fire. I'd watch this movie.
Professor X is nowhere around because they're on a different beach. Oh, my mutants. Playing a little beach volleyball, I see. Sorry to distract you guys.
Did you
but I
pack
think
the sunscreen, Charles?
That's right. Ouch. Oh, Charles, you're too interested in the sexuality of your mutants. I disagree, Magneto. I think Wolverine's looking pretty sharp in that speedo of his. So, Dan,
yeah.
What are your final thoughts on this, Philly?
Would I recommend it? No. However, if you happen to find yourself with 102 minutes, is it 102 or 107? I saw differing runtimes. Yeah, whatever. If you got a cool hour and three quarters to spare and you have to watch something, this is not the worst thing to fill that void, but I would certainly spend about an hour and 40 minutes trying to find something else before you decide to watch this. Ooh. Just watch, as Evan said, watch the clips on YouTube. They're there. They're better. You know, you don't need all of the bullshit to get the, you know, the stuff that we have.
Find the YouTube clip. I'm saying.
Yeah. So
Brandon
it's.
Benicio, what do you got?
Yeah. I mean, I think you find the YouTube clips. I think I've said everything I wanted to say about this movie. I liked it. It's pretty. It's not like there's not. It's not deep. You're not gonna watch this movie. You would never watch this movie more than once by yourself. I could see watching this movie in a group and having a good time. I think that if you are really trying to like sit and absorb this movie, YouTube clips of the best parts is going to do you just fine. It's cool. It's better than it gets. It's, you know, it's better than you would think a shitty Marvel sequel from 2008 would be. But it's not awesome. It's not incredible. It's not a triumph of film. It's not like, it's not another like Speed Racer, right?
I will say, for me, this movie feels more experimental than anything else. Like, it doesn't feel like a Marvel movie. I mean, Evan and I have been in a comedy group called Cineprof for years. They riff the vaguely Italian Captain America movie from the 70s.
Oh, I don't want to talk about that one.
Because
we just, have...
Well, that's utter nonsense because it's like trying to be squeaky clean. If this movie was made in 1989 opposite a Rambo movie, it would feel almost more at home because it's so unnecessarily violent. It feels more like a parody coming out in 2008 than it deserves to. At the end of the day, I'd recommend it because it's one of those you've got to see it to believe it kind of movies. It's so strange. But unlike my buddy Van here, don't watch it at work when people keep interrupting you. This is a Friday night with too much beer and or everyone's had a tequila sunrise or a whiskey rocks, because this movie is like, this is a Marlboro unfiltered, like Miller High Life movie. This is a Bud Heavy movie.
Yes.
This movie is out of control, but it's also utter nonsense. And that's totally okay.
It's a game of mini golf, this movie.
Yeah,
it reeks of 2008.
Don't bring your kids to this, though.
You don't want to expose your kids to Wayne Knight. Not that early.
No, God, no. You have to sit down and talk with them about what the true meaning of Wayne Knight is first, and then like have a discussion with them, you know, and introduce them slowly.
And then again, like the subtlety of a movie, even something like God, I don't even know what to tell you. A movie like Saw 4, like they're like, you're almost like, they've arrested Wayne Knight and they've got him in the trunk of their car. What happened to the mom? And she's just like a skull with two thirds missing. You're like, oh, she's super dead. Anyway, I think we've talked about this movie far long enough. Evan, do you have anything to plug? Or Dan, do you have anything to plug?
Check out, if you're in the local Atlanta area or you're not and want to hear some cool Atlanta tunes every Friday night at 6 p.m. on 99X, that's a radio station. I do a local music show. I also am on air with Rock 100.5. If you need a hand with your social media, check out HyperChat Social, another company I work for. And then, check out Disaster Masters if you want to hear about movies that were financial flops, but not necessarily critical flops, although sometimes also critical flops. Check out Disaster Masters. It's a podcast I do.
Beautiful. Thank you.
Thank you.
Dan.
I got nothing today. So free and clear, shooting the breeze. You can find me on Twitter if you think some of what I said was funny. I sometimes post really dumb, stupid, funny things sometimes.
Most of it's stupid. A lot of the stupid things I say too. So that's why he keeps getting on the show.
Hell yeah, guys.
And of course, you know where I am. If you want to hear me sound like a smarty smart, I'm on Required Reading podcast as well. But because we're here, and I do this every episode, next week, because we never take a week off here to visit my family, I am going to do an episode in honor of the new Tim Burton show Wednesday, as we release a former Patreon episode on Adam's Family Values. So
that's a good one.
Yeah, it's a great movie. And it's one of those movies that around this time of year, I just feel like watching, because we're kind of in the spooky season, but not quite.
We're transitioning away from spooky to family. I think it's a perfect time.
And both of those movies are just world class.
It's the spooky refractory period. That's what I call this.
So stay tuned next week and every future week as we put some of the past on trial. And thanks for listening, reviewing, and following us however you found us. Thanks, guys. Season 9 of Myopia Movies is produced by Nick Hoffman and Daniel Suttis. It is hosted by Nick Hoffman and stars Daniel Suttis and Matt Quinn. The theme music is Surf Shimmy by Kevin MacLeod of Incomtech.com and is licensed under Creative Commons by Attribution 3.0 license. Follow us on Facebook, Twitter, and review us wherever podcasts are found. Thanks, guys.